maybe all of our lives, and we've never really learned about it. So how can we know how to fight our enemy if we don't even know who he is? So this is just a small little handout. It's just a brief Q&A thing. You can take it home and read it, and hopefully you'll learn something. Well, hopefully you already know it, actually. I'd rather say that. Hopefully you already know it. But if you don't, hopefully you learn something. Tonight I want to recap just a little bit of last week, because I think it's really important. I think it's something that we need to really get into our heads deep, and that is our faith. We talked last week about our faith, and that we're really weak in our faith. We really are weak in our faith. We have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross, that we have eternal life through His blood, and that one day we'll be in heaven with Him. We have that faith. But do we have that faith that He'll heal us? And that's what we talked about last week. Do we have that faith that He'll heal our bodies? And the question I presented last week was, do we really have faith if we have a backup plan? Even us as Pentecostals, or us who believe in the power of healing, the power of deliverance, but do we really trust in Him? Or do we have a backup plan? Do we say, well, I'll trust in God, I'll pray, I'll have somebody pray for me, and I'll trust in God, but if it don't work, I know that I can go to the doctor. That's the backup plan. So that's not real faith, is it? That's really not faith, is it? If you think about that, that's what we talked really deep about last week. That's really not pure faith. If I have a backup plan, that means I don't have faith. I have hope, but I don't have faith. I have hope that if I'm sick and somebody prays for me, I'm going to be healed. But I don't have faith if I haven't think, well, if that don't work, I'm going to go to the doctor. And even worse than that, we don't even do it that way. Most of us. Most of us don't even do it that way. When we get sick, we go to the doctor. But if that don't work, then our last resort is we go to the altar. Is that true? Is that true? Isn't that what we normally do if we get sick? We if it's a major sickness, whatever, we go to the doctor, and then if it just doesn't work, then we go to the altar out of desperation. Isn't that what the lady with the issue of blood did? She spent all that she had going to the doctor. Right? But she didn't have Jesus before that. She had to go to the doctor. Right? But we have Jesus now. We don't have to go to the doctor first. And that's what we really talked about last week was that faith. Do we really have faith? And that was a challenging question we had last week. So, tonight I want to talk about something else. I have a question. How many of you hate? How many people hate? And I know, I think what everybody's thinking is... that's a tough, right? Because we're thinking that in Christianity, we're supposed to love and not hate, right? My Bible says that God hates sin, and God hates Satan. And we're supposed to hate sin, and we're supposed to hate Satan. We should have a gift of hate. It actually says that hate is a gift. We should hate that. We should hate that sin. We should hate that devil. We should hate Satan so bad and those demons so bad. We should have such a hatred. Guys, we should have such a hatred towards our enemy. And that's where we're falling short. Because in Christianity, we've been taught to love, love, love. We've never been taught to hate. We've never been taught to hate. Guys, when I do deliverance ministries, a lot of times I try to get the person, well, all the time, it's so important that the person does, they're responsible for the temple. When God's Holy Spirit came and dwelt in you, He left you in charge of that temple to take care of it. It's His temple, but He left you in charge of it. And if there's something unclean in that temple, you're responsible for getting it out. So when I do deliverance ministry, I really encourage that person, you make him leave. Why am I I doing all the work? I can yell and scream and jump and holler, but why am I doing all the work? You make him leave. You let him in. You get him out. And you know what Christian people do a lot of times? Satan, please leave. Will you please leave? Please leave! What are you talking about? Please leave. He ain't your friend. You gotta hate him. You have to hate him so bad, guys. So are we the bride of Christ? Do we understand what it means to be the bride of Christ? Do we understand what it means to be married to Jesus? Guys, I don't think that we do. I don't think we really understand. We can say the words and we can read it in here, but do we really understand that we are his bride? The reason I ask you that question is this. If you're in for those of you who's married, those of you who aren't, it's the same thing, right? When somebody, whether it be at your work or whether it be at school or whatever, when somebody comes and they seduce you, they want to have a sexual relationship with you, right? They flirt with you. Maybe that's an easier way to say it, right? But they have something in their mind, the reason they're flirting, right? If we're married, especially if we're married, we absolutely run from that. I hope we absolutely run from that. I mean, honestly, I hope we absolutely run from that. But we absolutely turn away from that. But that's exactly what Satan does to you each and every day. He flirts with you. He flirts with you. He comes and he entertains you. He comes and he whispers something in your ear that's opposite. That's it. Something of this world. Oh, but and what did he do to Eve? He flirted with Eve. Right? That's what he did. What was that? What was the sin that she had adultery with Satan? Really? And guys, that's what we do. Every time we give in to sin, every time we give in to the temptations, they're just temptations. Satan tempts you all the time. Every time we give in to those, we're having an affair against our husband. Do you realize that? Do you realize that every time that you give in, when you say, oh, I'm just used to the way I am now, I'm just used to the torment I'm in now, so I'm just going to live with it. That's stupid because Satan's the one who caused that torment. He's the one who puts that in you. And if you say, well, I'm just going to keep it, then you're saying, I'm going to stay in this affair. You have to hate that. The word hate, the definition of the word hate is disgust or despise. It disgusts you. It absolutely disgusts you. Right? You are disgusted by the idea of having an affair. Hopefully, you're disgusted. It makes you almost sick in your stomach to think that you would have an affair. That's that hate that you need to have. Every time the devil or the demons entice you, draw you in, and every time you give into that, you're having an affair against your husband. That should disgust you. That revelation right there should make you so sick of it. I hope that burns into your memory so much that every time that you choose to give in to anything in your flesh, anything that the devil puts in you, any kind of temptation of this world, I hope every time that the temptation comes up, you think about that. If I fall into that temptation, I'm going to have an affair against my husband. And I hope it makes you so sick you throw up. Because that's the kind of hate you need. If you want to be free, that's the kind of hate you need. You need to be so disgusted with him. He's a whore. He's a whore, guys. He's always trying to get us to go into bed with him. He's constantly fondling us. Guys, to be graphic, he's constantly fondling us. You have the right, being the watchman of the temple, You have the right to tell them to get away. But we fall into that trap every time because it feels good. It feels normal. It feels normal. How disgusting is that, that it feels normal to be in an affair? I want you guys to get this deep in your hearts. How pitiful is it that it feels normal that you're having an affair? That makes me sick. You got to have a hatred for him. You got to have this revelation that he's been tricking you into his bed. Every time you give into that, he's been tricking you. He's been seducing you, and you've been falling for it. If we're in the world, and if we're strong in our marriage, if we're strong in our faith, and if some man or some woman comes and seduces us, we would never fall for that. Right? Hopefully, right? Right? Hopefully? For the most part, anyways? But we do it every day with Satan. Every single day we do it with Satan. We fall for it. He seduces us right into his little love bed. And he has intercourse with us. Every day. It makes me sick. It makes me so sickening that I hate him so bad. I hate him so bad. Guys, and that's the kind of things that we gotta have. So some scriptures that I got tonight. Let's look at Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6:16. I like the words in this translation, this English translation. It says, 6:16 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. So the Lord hates, guys. The Lord hates. And he's given us that gift of hate. He wants us to have, he needs it. You need to have that gift of hate. You will never be free of the devil. I can promise you this, unless you get this gift of hate, you'll never be free of the devil. You'll never be free of demons if you have demons. Never, if you don't have a gift of hate. Every time in the Bible, when people came to Jesus, they were desperate, right? But they hated what was going on. They hated what the devil was doing to them. Jesus delivered them. He does the delivering. He's the one who sets the captives free. But they hated what was in their life. They hated what the devil was doing to them. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him. Prideful eyes or haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deceives wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness that breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among the brothers. Well, that's pretty tough. That's pretty tough. There's seven things that's an abomination to the Lord. The strongest word of hate that could be recorded is abomination. Absolute despising. That the Lord despises. And the one who causes discord among the brothers. That last one, really. And one who sows discord among the brothers. Man, that's tough. Has anybody here ever gossiped? The Lord absolutely despises it. It's an abomination to him. It makes him sick to the pit of his stomach. Do you realize that? According to the way that's written there, that makes him throw up sick. It's an abomination to him. And yet we do it every day and it doesn't even really bother us. Every time we do that, you know what we're doing? we're having sexual intercourse with Satan. Every time we do that, we're crawling into Satan's bed. Every time we lie, a lying tongue, we're crawling into Satan's bed. Every time we get prideful, we're crawling into Satan's bed. It's an abomination to the Lord. It's absolutely, it makes him sick as he looks down from heaven and watches us having affairs with Satan. It makes him sick. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. It makes him sick, you guys. It's an abomination to him. In Luke 16, we're going to jump around here a little bit. In Luke 16, he says, no servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. No servant can serve, no person can serve two masters. You have to have, you have hate. But is that hate at the right place? Now this particular thing is talking about money. We all know that, it's talking about money. But what is the master of your life? If the Lord is the master of your life, you hate everything else of this world. You realize that? That's kind of how I read this. If the Lord is the master of your life, then you hate everything else. You have to take that into context, guys. Don't misunderstand how I'm saying it. This world, the Bible says to be friends of this world is to be an enemy of God. It says it. So it's the same thing. To be a friend of this world is to be an enemy of God. So if you're a lover of this world, you're a hater of God. And if you're a lover of God, you're a hater of the world. The Bible says that Satan is the ruler of this world. Now, he won't be for long, but he is for now. He's the ruler of this world. So if you're in love with this world, then you're in love with Satan. And you're an enemy with God, and you're a hater of God. I would never hate God, we say. I would never hate God. No, you're right. Your spirit, man, if it's born again, cannot hate God. That's a true statement. Your spirit, man, if it's born again, cannot hate God. But your flesh and your mind and your soul can hate God. And we show him by our flesh and our mind and our soul giving into the tricks of this world, giving into the things of this world. It's showing God that we hate him. That's how he sees it, guys. We have to have a hatred for sin. A hatred, a deep hatred for the devil and his tricks. A deep hatred for those demons that haunt us. So we'll start at 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Here it lays them both out. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Hating even the garment stained by the flesh. That's what Jude told us to do. To stay in the love of God. And in the same sentence, he said, and hating even the stains of the garment of the garments of the flesh stained. He's saying, love God, but hate that flesh. Hate that sinful flesh. Hate that devil that causes us to do things we don't want to do. We have to have a hate. You guys, we have to hate. We have to hate the devil. We can't, guys, we can't be free unless we hate him. It's impossible. You know why I say it's impossible? Casting out demons is not hard. Casting out demons is the easiest part of it. They have to submit to Christ. They have to submit to the authority of Christ. They have to submit to the finished work of the cross. They have to submit. So casting out demons is not some big magical formula. It's not hard to do. But if that person don't hate that sin and hate that devil, he's just going to come right back. It's staying free. That's the hard part. And it's not hard. It's actually not hard. We just have to understand that we have to hate him. We have to hate everything about him. We have to despise him. The reason there's so much sickness is because there's not enough hate. Sounds strange, doesn't it? The reason there's so much sickness in this world is because there's not enough hate. Guys, we have a lot of people in this country that love Jesus. I'm convinced of that. I am not necessarily convinced that 80 or 90% of the people in America are Christians. I'm not convinced of that necessarily. But I do believe there's a lot of people in this country that love Jesus. I really do believe that. But there's very few people in this country that hate Satan and his tricks and hate this world. There's very few people that hate that. They want to have both. They want to be. The only way you cannot be lukewarm is to hate one. If you don't have a love and a hate, you're not. Then what Jesus said? I wish you were either hot or cold. Right? If you don't have love and hate, you're lukewarm. If you don't have love of God and people and hate of the devil and all the tricks that he has in this world, then you're lukewarm. If you're trying to combine the two, it's like combining water and oil. You'll never be productive. You'll never be free. You'll never be healthy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. John 2:15. Here's our Lord and Savior, John 2:15. Here's our Lord and Savior demonstrating hate. Demonstrating hate. It says, and making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these away. Do not make my father's house the house of trade. He hated it. He didn't hate those people. He was angry at those people. But he didn't hate those people. But he hated that sin. He hated that sin. He was so furious that he drove them out. Could you imagine a Christian doing that today? Could you imagine, guys, a Christian taking his belt off and going to the CD selling chambers of the church in the foyer and swapping them out and throwing their CDs out the door? Or to the Starbucks coffee that's back in the foyer? Right? Could you imagine what would happen if any one of us as a Christian would do that? If any one of us would follow the example of our Lord, we would be shunned. Right? Yeah. Unlovingly. But that's our Lord. We don't do that because, oh, we wouldn't want to make a scene, or, oh, because that's what we're not taught. We're, oh, just love them. Love them is true. He loved those guys. I can promise you, he loved those guys. But he was angry at that sin. He hated that sin. He hated what was happening in his father's house. And I can tell you that he hates what's happening in his father's house today. He hates it. Because we don't have the gift of hate. You know why he hates it? Because we don't have the gift of hate. We need the gift of hate. In Ecclesiastes 3:8, Solomon says there's a time to love and there's a time to hate. That's pretty cool. He's telling something there. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. Now, would Solomon have been telling us to hate people? Of course not. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. Guys, I'm telling you, I'm 100% convinced that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed that says that Jesus is my only hope, and if he don't heal me, then I'll suffer for him. And if we have a hate against the devil and all his tricks, a hate against this world, a hate against all the tricks of this world, a hate against the demons that control us, a hate against that adulterer, if we had those two things, you guys, we'd have such revival. And it wouldn't look like what you think. It would look like what he thinks. Because we need that hatred to go and tell people. Not to hate the people that are sinning, but to tell them of their sin. That's what it said in Jude. Snatch them out of the fire. You have to hate the devil to snatch them out of the fire. You have to have love for them and a hate for the devil to snatch them out of the fire. That's exactly what Jude said in 21, 22, and 23. We see that as a message of love. Like, oh, I got to rescue you. Yes, I'm called to rescue you. I'm called to rescue you out of the fire. But to do that effectively, I have to have a hate against the sin that you're in. I have to hate it so much that I'm up, and I have to have so much hatred of that sin that I'm willing to lose you as a friend. You understand that? I have to have so much hatred towards that devil and that sin that I'm willing, and I have to have so much love for you that I'm willing to lose you as a friend. Because what good does it do to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? What good is it? What good is it to gain all the friends here and to lose your soul? Guys, we need to be free. There's sickness, there's disease, there's things that we need to be healed of, there's things that we need to be delivered of. Guys, you can't heal a demon. You can't heal a demon. I can't say that enough, guys. We have to have discernment. We have to have a relationship. How do we have discernment? This is maybe another question we should work on tonight. How do we have discernment? Having discernment, it means nothing more than having a relationship with your Father. You need to be able to sit at your Father's lap. I promise you, He wants to talk to you. I promise you, He wants to tell you things. I promise you that. No father in the world could match His love. He wants to have that relationship with you. That's discernment. How do you have discernment? By having a relationship with the Father. How do I know if I need to deal with a demon or a sickness? Ask my Father. He who gives all abundantly, it says. Right? What's it say in James? If you seek wisdom, ask Him. Right? But if you ask Him, don't doubt. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But if you ask Him, He'll give you all the knowledge, all the wisdom. Guys, what we're doing is we're trying to make formulas. Right? If I have a sickness, and the whole church comes around me, or not even the whole church, unfortunately, but even those who believe in prayer come around me and they pray for healing. But I might not need healing. I might need a devil kicked out of me. And why would that be so embarrassing for me to say that? Why does that feel so disgusting? Why are we so afraid of that word? If there's something in me that's not of God, I don't care what you want to call it, get it out of me. Because I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. If it's a sickness, if it's a demon, I don't care what you call it. Get it out of me. Because I hate it. But we're so worried about, oh my gosh, what if somebody thinks I have a demon? So we pet that thing and we just keep it there. We keep having love affairs with it day after day after day. Feeding a little medicine to it every day. That's what we do, you guys. Its food source is the medicine that we give it. Think about that. We got to drive it out. But we got to hate it. We got to hate it. And there's one thing, I guess there's another thing that's to my mind. There's so many things. Because, guys, this is so untaught. And we're so ignorant about it. But something else this week that I was talking with someone and it came up. And I can promise you, biblically, every example in the Bible, a demon has to be driven out. You cannot beg with him and you cannot plead with him. You cannot sugarcoat it. He has to be driven out. He has to be driven out. You have to go after him and you have to drive him out. He's not going to leave willingly. And as long as you keep him there, you're having an affair with him against your husband. And if you're a born-again Christian, you are married to Jesus. And if you're entertaining that demon, you are having an affair. And that's the truth. That's the truth. You are an adulterer. Why did James say, you unfaithful brides? Did you hear James say that? Right? You have not because you want not. And when you want, when you ask, you ask for the wrong reasons. You have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask for the wrong reasons. You unfaithful bride. He's talking to us. Like we're the bride. You unfaithful brides. You want things of this world. You want entertainment of this world. You want money. You want fame. You want this. You want that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All those things, if God wants you to have them, He'll add them to you. I'm not against money and I'm not against anything like that. That's not what's important. That's not what's important. What's important is that we have such a love for God and such a hate for the devil, and that we would never in a million years have an affair against our husband. That's what's important. Yeah. think I'm going to stop for this week because that's a lot. It's a lot, guys. Just the word hate, the gift of hate, the gift of hate is a lot. And the fact, this is probably the most thing that I hope that everyone can go home with. That if you give in to the devil, you're having a love affair, or you're having an affair against your husband. I hope that every time that you're tempted to sin, I hope you remember that. If I do this, I'm going to have an affair against my husband. I hope it makes you so sick. I hope it makes you so disgusted. That's what I hope. That's what I hope for myself every day. Because those temptations are there every day. The temptations of this world are there every day. The temptations every day are there. And if I give in to those temptations, I'm having an affair against my husband. And that's what I hope you go home with. That's what I hope that we think about. If you say, well, that's what I'm comfortable with. That's the life I'm comfortable with. I'm just going to keep it that way. I've learned to deal with my life that way. What you're saying is you've learned how to have an affair and think that you're hiding it from Jesus. That's what you're saying. I've learned how to have an affair. I like the affair I'm having. And I feel like my husband don't know about it. So I'm okay. And Jesus said to the woman that was caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Tonight he revealed to you that you've been having an affair, maybe. Maybe tonight God is revealing to you that you've been having an affair against your husband. And if your heart is broken right now, and if your stomach is sick of that, he says to you, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Father, I'm sickened in my stomach right now. I'm sickened in my soul, God, to think that every time that I've given in to the tricks of the devil, God, since your spirit came and lived inside of me, that I actually had an affair against you. God, that makes me sick. God, that makes me sick. I'm so sorry. Jesus, I'm so sorry that I did that to you. I'm so sorry. Jesus, please wash me. Wash me, Jesus. God, I pray that you wash us of that sin, God. Father, I pray that you deliver us, God, of that adulterous devil. Father, I pray that you deliver us, Father, in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, in our bodies. God, I pray that you give me such a hatred for him, Father, such a disgust for his deceitful ways, to think that every time that he comes and every time that he comes and he tempts me with something of this world, he's actually starting to have foreplay with me, and it makes me sick. God, it makes me sick. Jesus, cleanse me from all that unrighteousness. Give me a hatred. Give me such a deep hatred for the devil and the demons and the sin. Give me such a deep hatred for that Jesus, the gift of hatred, that I hate him. I hate him even when I see him in my brothers and my sisters. When I see him, I love my brothers and sisters so much that I hate that devil that's tricking my brothers and sisters into having an affair. I hate when I look and I see them in that bed having an affair. I hate it. I hate it so much, and I love them so much that I'm going to tell them. I'm going to hate it so much that I cannot hold back from telling them that they're having an affair. Even if they run away mad. Jesus, Give me that love for you and that love for my fellow brothers and sisters and that hatred for the enemy, your enemy and my enemy. Psalm 139. Just stay where you're at in the prayer, in your mind, in your heart. Psalm 139. Lord, how I hate those who hate you. I feel such disgust with those who defy you. I hate them with unlimited hatred. They have become my enemies too. Examine me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is in me any hurtful way, and lead me along the eternal way. God, that should be the prayer for all of us. He's my enemy too. He's your enemy now, God, and he's my enemy too. God, examine me. Examine me, Father, and know my heart, and test me, and know my thoughts. And if you see, God, that I'm an unfaithful bride, God, show it to me. Point out to me. Make me get absolutely sick of it. Make me have my whole body hurt of it. Father, give me such a disgust that even God, though I have been saying all along that I'm too scared to get help, that I don't want to get help, that I don't know what that looked like, that I'm too nervous, I don't even know if I believe it, but give me such a disgust for that I will say, I want help today. I need deliverance today. I want to be free today. I will not put up with the sickness in my body anymore. It's not my body, it's the temple. God, it's your temple. The temple that you put your spirit in. God, you bought this old wretched body with the price. You bought it. I have no right over it. You bought this house. And you said, I'm going to put a tenant in that house. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in there. It's no longer mine, but it's yours. If I sold the house, I don't have any claim over it. God, give me such a hatred for that sin that I say, I want that out of me. I don't care if it's a demon. I don't care if it's a sickness. I don't care if it's what it is of this world. I don't care if it's of the enemy, if it's not of you, God, I want it gone. Father, I no longer want to be a friend. I no longer want to be a friend. I no longer want to be a girlfriend with the devil. I no longer want to be a mistress of the devil. Oh, Lord, you just showed that to me. We are mistresses of the devil if we continue to play with that. We are actually that mistress. That makes me sick even again. God, I don't want to be that mistress. Father, I want to be that faithful bride. Father, I need to be that faithful bride. Father, anything else besides that, God, I couldn't even live any longer knowing this. Father, I pray that you convict every heart here tonight, God. Father, each and every person you created uniquely and individually, and each and every person has their own things they're going through in their own life. Father, whatever those things are, Father, I pray that you are putting a spotlight on those right now in every one of us. Father, I pray that you're putting a spotlight on us right now. And that thing cannot hide anymore. Even if I try to hide it, it can't hide anymore. Lord, touch us tonight, God. Touch us tonight. I really feel like the Lord just says to my heart, I've convicted you, now it's your job. What are you going to do with it? I've convicted you, now. What are you going to do with it? Father, I thank you that you did your job. And I pray that every one of us, Father, heed to the calling that you're giving us right now. And Father, I say this, that by life or by death, may you be glorified. By life or by death, Father, may you be glorified. Father, if you heal me or if you take me home, may you be glorified. Father, I will not bow down to Baal anymore. I will not do it anymore, Father. I will not crawl into his bed anymore. I will not, Father. Even if that means that you don't heal me and I end up dying, then may you be glorified. By life or by death, Lord, may you be glorified. But I will not give in again. I will not give in anymore. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for speaking into our hearts, this message, this teaching, Father. I thank you, God, that you convicted us. Thank you, Father, that you examine us daily to see if we're in the faith. Thank you, Father. I pray that you bless everyone here tonight, Father. As they go, Father, I pray that each one of them go in their own way, that they do whatever you're putting in their heart to do in their own personal life. Father, I pray that you bless them right now. Bless them, Father. Bless them. Thank you, God, for the glorious gift of hate, and thank you, God, for the glorious gift of conviction. I'm forever, ever grateful, God, that you give me the gift of hate and the gift of conviction. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So...